governments, but now I'm declaring he's a man. And as a man now, you no longer tell him what to do. He now tells you what to do. And that was understood in that culture. So now he says in the third verse, even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When we were infants, inarticulate babblers, immature, works of the flesh, napios. When we were children, we couldn't think correctly with a frame of mind. All we could think about was the law. When we were children, we were under the first principles of the world system. Now, what's the first principle of the world system in this context? Law. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, coming to be out of a woman, coming to be under law. So God sent forth his son in the fullness of the times. In this context, what's the fullness of the time? It's the time designated by the father to take the child who's under bondage and to take him out of bondage and say, now he's a man. He can function as an adult. He has all of the privileges that he can utilize. So God sent forth his son when it came the fullness of the time. When? When he said the Jews are no longer to be under law, but I'm going to select some of the Jews, baptize them into Christ so that they can mature. That's the fullness of the time. God sent forth his son, it says in the next verse, to redeem them that were under the law. Who were the ones that were under the law? Jews. Jews. Now, why is that important here in this context? Well, there was no problem with the Gentiles because the Gentiles were never under law. He could take the Gentiles and place them into Christ and give them all the privileges of sonship. But he couldn't do it with the Jews until he took the Jews out from under the law so he could place them as sons. So you couldn't have equality of Jew and Gentile together in the body of Christ till he removed the law from the Jews. So when the fullness of the time was come, he sent forth his son, born out of a woman, coming to be out of a woman, coming to be under law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we all might receive. Now, the word adoption is incorrect. It's placement as sons. Placement as sons. I've heard some people say, even recently, we're adopted into God's family. No, we're not. We're born. We're born ones. It's not by adoption, it's by birth. We're born ones of God. So this word is not a good translation, adoption. It actually means to be placed as a son, and it's looking at us being baptized into Christ. So placed as sons, and because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That shows we have privilege. Why does that show that? Because before under law, in order to speak to the Father, they needed to go through a priest. But to prove that they were placed as sons, they could go directly to God after they've been saved and placed into Christ. They could go through their position in Christ and speak directly to the Father in a personal relationship. Only the high priest could do that. But here, now he says, you have proof that you're redeemed out from the law is because he sent forth the Spirit of God into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is also what in Romans chapter 8, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And then he talks about the same thing here, that the proof that we are sons is because we can communicate directly to the Father. That proves they're not under law. Not. They can communicate directly right from the time you're saved. You can talk directly to the Father through your position in Christ, placed as sons. And you can call him Father. Why? What does Father speak about? And it's saying, Daddy Father, Abba Father, Daddy Father. What does that emphasize? The reason we can talk to him is because we're sons. And how do we address him when we talk to him as sons? Father, as children, you're our daddy father. We're your born ones. So this emphasizes not only children, born ones, regeneration, but baptism into Christ, privilege. So the children who are regenerated can speak because of the position directly to the Father because they're sons. There's a lot in this verse. It's a powerful verse. Okay. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if sons, then heirs of God through Christ. So, we see here that what makes the world go round? The first principles, the elements of the world, the first principles of the world system is what they were freed from. And what did he do? He redeemed them from the law. What makes the world system go around? Law. Law. The world system functions. The very first principle of the world system to try to regulate the sin nature is law. Grace is absolutely opposite to everything that's in the world system. The world system operates by law. When you were born as an unsaved person into the world system, what did you grow up under? Law in some kind of equality. That's what you learn. How does our government work? When we go out here on the street and we're driving, what are we under? Law. Oh, you say, well, I'll leave the United States. Okay, fine. What country you want to go to? Okay, you want to go to Rome. So you go to the city of love, and you go into Rome, and romantic city. When you get there, what are you under? Roman what? Law. Say, oh, I'll go over to Greece. What are you under? Greece? Law. Right? No matter where you go in the world system, you're under some kind of quality of law. You're not under grace. Under grace, God says, you're my child who has privilege in Christ. Now you're under grace. You just act according to who you are. That's what the function is. Just grow up and act according to who you are. You know, if you do that, you're not going to have any problem. We have enemies trying to mess up our mind to take us from that, but that's basically the Christian life. The Christian life is, here's what I have made you. Here's your identity. What are you? You're a born one of God. You're a child of God. You're born of God. He actually indwells in you. The triune God is inside of me. I can't get away from him. He's in me. And I am his born one. Someone asks your identity. Hello, Mr. So-and-so. Who are you? I'm a child of God.
What?
Yes, I'm his son. I'm baptized into Christ. They're saying, you're an idiot. That's what they would think if they were interviewing you. But that's who I am. That's my identity. But we don't always think about that. We think about ourselves as, who are you? I'm in debt. No, that's what you are, but who are you? You know, that's the state you're in. But who are you? I'm depressed. No. Who are you? We don't think about ourselves all the time that way. That's what we need to do. That's what grace is about. Grace is about looking at what God's provided for you under grace and then just living. Let him live out his life through you as what? A child of God who has privilege in Christ. That's it. That's the basic of the Christian life right there in a nutshell. Just be who you are. How? By faith. I believe God's promise that he's going to do this. So by faith. Oh, I have victory over the enemies. How? Well, I believe that if I put on the armor, he'll bring me the victory. I need faith to put on the armor. How about the flesh? Oh, I need to have faith. How? I believe that if I reckon myself dead and alive unto God and yield my members, I'll never fulfill the works of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. I'll never fulfill it. I do that by faith. He's giving me that promise. How do I defeat the world? Oh, I didn't tell you that yet. Okay. That's what we're doing. Okay. Back to the world system. And then maybe we can take another break, I guess. And we're about, what, 15 minutes? It'll be 12? Okay, let's get to this point because I did want to end with this before the break. The world system, then, is designed by Satan to keep unsaved people together and regulate their lives, regulate their sin nature by distractions, keeping them functioning in here. Let's prove that. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 19. And we know the facts, oida, we know the facts that we are out of God, and the whole world is cradled in the Poneros evil wicked one. That word lieth is to be cradled, to be relaxed like an infant in a cradle. It's used of Mary lying, taking Jesus and placing him in the manger. Cradled in the manger. So the whole world is like cradled, like a baby in a nursery, cradled in the nursery in that Poneros evil wicked one. He is influencing them through the world system under the precepts of some kind of legalism. He's regulating the world with the distractions to keep them all asleep so they really don't know what's going on. Peggy asked me if I was going to bring any Snoopy things. I forgot them all at home. I didn't even bring, but here's one. Snoopy is on his doghouse. Okay. All right. Not very good, but you get the idea. Yeah. And there's this giant icicle that's hanging over him, and he's sleeping. Then all of a sudden he wakes up and he says, I feel doomed. Like if the icicle melts, it's going right through his belly. That's how the world system is. They function in the distraction of the world system. They're like cradled asleep in the nursery and they don't realize they're doomed. They don't think about it. They think about sports, they think about their jobs, they think about trying to get by the next week in their living, they think about all of these other things, and they don't realize that there's a grating impending danger that's over them. They're going to hell. They're going to hell. And that's far worse than who's going to win the whatever. But they're so distracted and rocked to sleep by everything that's around them with this distraction, that they don't wake up to the fact that they're doomed. They're doomed. And they don't want to concentrate on that. Now, the world system, that's what it does to unsaved people. What does it do to you as a Christian? The world system, by Satan, is a distraction. We can use it. When you get to that, next hour we come back, we're going to give you some guidelines on how to use the world but not abuse it, how to grow up in maturity and recognize. You regulate yourself on when's too much. But what does it distract from to the Christian? And this is something else. I always knew, but I never put together. I don't know why. Sometimes I think it was just slow. Or I wasn't ready. But it's so simple. I knew all these things, but just really put them together in a concrete way. I always thought the world system distracts us from agape love, but that's not correct. It distracts us from, it distracts the Christian's love, period,